Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Sherlock, Season 1, Episode 2, The Blind Banker.
Yep, we are. I don't know what else to say. We have our usual caveats, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers if you've not watched the show, which, you know, we totally get that you should watch. And obviously, these are mysteries, so spoilers may piss you off. So just fair warning. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having English breakfast tea.
I am also having tea. I am actually killing two birds with one stone here. I am having special tea. It's a flowering tea that is the Gilded Lotus. It relates to this episode on multiple levels, which makes me happy. And so I took a picture of it. It never looks as cool as you think it's going to look in the picture, but hey, it'll be online. You can see it. I love these flowering teas. It doesn't taste really amazing. It's just kind of meh as tea goes, but it looks lovely. So there you go.
Meh in one sense, just like earthy metal. Metal.
Right. It's
muddled.
Just not.
Muddled. That's what I was going for.
Yeah, sorry. It's just not super flavorful. I mean, you can tell that there's
something there.
Something there, but it's very bland. It's in kind of yellowish in color. It doesn't have, like, you know, normally we usually use like a jasmine tea for something like this. It doesn't have that kind of tang.
I do love jasmine tea.
Yeah, it doesn't have the tang of a jasmine, so it's just kind of leafy. It's a Ted Lasso. Oh my god, why are you having boiled leaves? You know, like, it's just not super exciting, but it's pretty and it fits the episode, and that was the right answer. So let's get started.
So episode 2, The Blind Banker, we see Gemma Chan, the icon that she is. This is kind of her, before her big break, though.
Place Gemma Chan for me.
Eternals. She was in Don't Worry, Darling. She's in...
Never saw Don't Worry, Darling. I did see Eternals, but I was not paying attention to Eternals.
She was Cersei in Eternals, like the main girl.
Oh.
She's also another.
You should know who Gemma Chan is. For Robb Stark and Jon Snow,
I'm aware. But I mean, her name in the show, in the movie, was Cersei. You look her up. You've seen her before, Mom.
I'm sure she looked familiar, and she's gorgeous. Oh my god,
she is absolutely gorgeous.
And she's fabulous in this. So
yeah,
not surprising to me that she's had bigger roles, but I couldn't place her. So there you go.
Yeah, she's in other stuff, I'm sure. Oh, no, Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, well, I assumed, like, she's got to be in Crazy Rich Asians.
She was the sister. The nice sister.
Oh, the nice sister. Cool. The really pretty one, super rich. Yeah.
Yeah, the one who loves jewelry.
Yeah.
And her husband hates that she has money.
She leaves him.
He's a weak man.
He's a weak man. She
he can't handle Gemma Chan.
Well, understandable.
Yeah, so you do know Gemma Chan. Anyway. We see Gemma Chan perform a tea ceremony at a museum and get hit on by a coworker. But when she puts the artifacts away, she is stunned by something she sees on a statue. Okay.
She's terrified.
Yeah. So John's having credit card troubles while Sherlock fights a guy. Not very...
John's reaction to this machine is so me.
Yeah, I can relate too.
Yeah, it's like, fuck off, machine. Fuck off, Rupert. I mean, I have so much trouble with, like, stupid technology, and his impatience is so relatable.
He just yells at it. Anyway, yeah. Sherlock gets a message from an old friend from college who wants his help to solve a case. John realizes he needs to get a job because he needs money. The classic dilemma of not wanting to work but having to need money.
Many of us do, right?
Don't we all? They go to the bank and meet with the friend Sebastian. Sebastian says there has been a break-in, but nothing was taken, only some symbols spray painted on a wall without being caught on camera, and all of the doors were locked, and it was on like one of the top floors. So it's very odd how this happened, and it's crazy.
One of those classic.
It happened like 1 minute apart too, so that's why it wasn't picked up by the cameras, which again is crazy that you don't have just constant surveillance. But sure. He says he will pay them and if they can tell him what this hole in the security is. And John holds on to the advanced check. Sherlock notices that the paint can only be fully seen from one office at a specific time, and that is Eddie Van Coon's office. They go to his flat and sneak in via a neighbor because they weren't going to be able to get in otherwise. And all the doors were locked, so Sherlock just kind of breaks in, and they find him dead with a bullet in his head, framed as a suicide.
Yep.
Detective Inspector Dimmick, who is taking over the case from Lestrade, is fed up with Sherlock's bullshit. And Sherlock is, because Sherlock can prove that it's not a suicide, even though it seems like a pretty open and shut case. He's just like, actually, the wound is on the right side of the head, even though he's left-handed. So the and also the bullet is probably not from the gun he's holding. It's probably That's the gun that he was probably using to defend himself, but if the bullet that actually killed him probably came from a different gun. And
Yeah.
so the detective inspector is not very happy.
No, he 100% does not want to do any of these things that Sherlock is telling him. And so we then, where
They're
am I?
trying to figure out how the killer got in, and they
Right.
tell Sebastian about what happened.
Yes, they tell him about what happened. I keep calling him preppy guy. Puppy guy. I'm sorry. Puppy guy leaves note for the girl, in Chinatown. So
By the way, Jackie
they're
Chan's character is called Su Lin Yao.
yeah.
And I think the other guy is like Jacob. I
Can't
don't
remember.
know.
Doesn't matter. Puppy guy who's in love with her, or thinks he is and is following her around, goes to Chinatown looking for her because she has not been at work. Oh, and I'm sorry, did I miss?
Oh, you missed a little.
Hang on. We see a guy, like kind of an overweight guy, who is running down the street and to an apartment. He's being chased. He's very afraid. He runs to his apartment, shuts the door, locks it, runs upstairs. He's like panting. He thinks he's safe. He turns around and he's shocked and terrified.
Well, there's also something before that when they were talking to Sebastian. He explains how good Van Coon was at his job and how he worked in China and had the Hong Kong account, and he would lose a lot in the stock market and make it back within a week.
Right.
So he was either very good at the stock market or very good at just finding money somewhere.
Yes,
Anyway,
magically.
and the guy who's running is his name is Lucas. It's his last name. I didn't care to learn his first name. Anyway, yeah, so Su Lin has resigned, all that stuff. John gets a job at a local doctor's office.
By flirting with a woman who is hiring,
And it works.
Sherlock, goes to this new detective who is unimpressed with him, and he says, because he sees online that there someone else has been killed in a similar way, he's in his flat, all the doors are locked, whatever. He goes, the detective is like, look, you've got two of these. The killer, he's like, I just want 5 minutes in the flat, 5 minutes in the flat. And he finally gets the detective to admit that, yeah, that bullet was not from the victim's gun. It had to be from someone else's gun. And the detective's like, fine. So he lets him into the journalist's flat. And Sherlock's walking around doing the mind palace things that he does. And he realizes that the killer has got to be a climber. He sees a skylight and is like, yeah, he had to get in this way. So he, as he is leaving, like he's, there for like 5 minutes. And as he's leaving, he grabs a book off the stairwell, and opens it and realizes it's from the Kensington Library. He and Watson go to the Kensington Library and they're looking around trying to figure out what is it about this library that would be something that would scare somebody. And they see the same symbol that had been spray painted in the bank on a bookshelf in the library.
Can I just say, I think that it makes whoever's threatening these men or if it even is a threat at this point. Whoever's getting trying to get this message to these men, like, I think they did a good job with Van Koon at least. Well, obviously it must have been a threat because they ended up dead. But I think obviously like Van Koon's easy, just go to his job, but they just chose a bookshelf in the public library and spray painted it and put it behind the books and hoped that maybe they spray painted every single bookshelf just to see if he would find it somewhere. Like, I'm confused about how he was able to so easily, like, whoever this person was, to so easily figure out. Maybe, like, obviously they had them trailed or something, but at the same time, it's just like,
Well, it would
what?
be one thing if like this journalist worked in the library. Like
Yeah,
if
that would be something different.
right, if he was
And
employed there, but that it does not make sense, and I agree with you.
like that one in particular, like the others make sense, like
The
the
only
threats.
other possibility to me is that, as we later find out, messages are being passed within this group, and it may be that that's where they exchange messages regularly.
That's possible. I don't know though. We'll
I
never
don't care, but at the time that you initially see this, you're like, what the fuck?
know. How the fuck did they figure that out?
Yeah, it's like that does not seem to make a ton of sense, but okay. So yet we see that symbol is on the shelf. They realize that the symbol means something. They go, and for whatever reason, because it's in spray paint, they being Sherlock and Watson, go to what looks to be the National Gallery. It looks like they're going to go in the museum, but no, they're not going in the museum. They go around the corner and into an alley, and they see a graffiti artist who is tagging on the wall using spray paint. And he reckons that he doesn't want to help them. But he says he recognizes the type of paint. And at, just then, the cops come up and leave. They leave Watson holding the bag of spray paint, and he gets in trouble and gets arrested. The
Shulin.
girl has resigned from the museum unexpectedly. And Puppy Boy is very upset, and he's asking, he's like, it doesn't make sense. She was working on this exhibit. You know, she's really enamored of these teapots. I can't understand why she would leave. And as they leave, I'm sorry, as they're at the apartment, it cuts back to the apartment where Watson and Sherlock kind of see each other in passing. And as Watson is leaving, you see that a person is taking pictures of him from across the street.
Not very covertly, I might add.
No.
This person is dressed in all black, black sunglasses and holding a camera. Like, it's not very covert at all.
No. I have a note that I'm not able to read it in its entirety. So the journalist got something from a ticket, and I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it's a plane. Is it a plane ticket or
It's a
is it?
plane ticket. I think the thing in the diary is a plane ticket that John sees, that's from China. And so they both, Sherlock goes to Vancouver's PA while John goes to the police department and gets the diary for Lucas. And so Sherlock is talking to the PA, and the PA is just like, no, I don't think my boss was very considerate. Like, obviously, it was an affair, but like so clearly. And he knows Sherlock knows there's some luxury hand cream that Van Koon must have given his PA, and like all that stuff. Like, it's again obvious that they were lovers or whatever. I don't know if he was married. They never bring up a wife, so whatever.
Well, his apartment looks pretty barren, so
Yeah,
maybe.
so I'd assume not. Anyway, so they both John and Sherlock converge on Chinatown and find the Lucky Cat Emporium, which uses the symbols as a numbering system.
I
It's an
want to
ancient.
note one separate thing. We
Sure.
actually were in Chinatown in London, and so I'm looking at this going like, maybe we ate at that restaurant on the corner.
It's possible. I don't
It's
know.
possible. It's really cool looking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's an ancient numbering system used by street traders in China, and the symbols that they've been seeing are the numbers 15 and 1. And so they figure it's probably a cipher or something like that. or they just mean something different. We don't know. And so somebody, again, is watching them and taking pictures, not covertly. And they figure out the men, Vancoon and Lucas, were smugglers. And they used the Lucky Cat Emporium as their base of operations to hand off their goods, their stolen goods from China. And then he notices, Sherlock notices an abandoned flat nearby, Su Lin Yao's abandoned flat. And he gets a little suspicious because why? I don't know. He just does, and thank goodness it's useful for the plot. And so Sherlock sneaks in while leaving John outside, and someone apparently had snuck in before him, and he's just like, oh wait, he's still here. The person is still here.
Like, oh
But
shit.
Su Lin isn't there. Su Lin isn't in her in that flat. And also, I would like to point out, in for all of the bodies that we see, like fresh bodies that we see from this killer, it they always leave an origami lotus,
Yeah, it's a black lotus,
a
but
black lotus. Like, I think
I
that
have a gilded lotus. It's good enough for
I
going.
think that they put like the one for Vancoon like in his mouth or something. Like, whoa, okay. And so Sherlock fights the guy, the person who snuck in, and he almost gets suffocated by him, and but he doesn't, thank God. But the guy is not very thorough and just puts the black lotus into his into Sherlock's seemingly dead hand, but obviously he wasn't dead. And John is meanwhile like thinking that Sherlock is just ignoring him, and he just sarcastically impersonates Sherlock. He's like, I'm Sherlock Holmes and I always work alone because no one can compete with my massive intellect. And so once Sherlock recovers, they decide to go to the museum because they found like something from the museum in Su Lin's apartment. And they talk to the guy, they hear about the teapots and find the symbol on the statue. So that's what she found at the very beginning of the episode.
And clearly she knew it was a message, so yeah.
So they're walking around, and the graffiti artist comes up to them and takes them to an underground skate park, which brings my least favorite, like, noise, just background noise from this entire episode of, hey, that was rad. Like, someone literally says that, and it takes me out every single time we go to that fucking skate park.
Oh,
It
that's
happens
funny.
once. There is only one time we go to that skate park, and the first thing we hear is, hey, that was rad. Like, I can't. It's so
Wow.
stupid.
Wow. Wow.
Anyway,
Yeah,
okay.
the style. Like, I didn't even hear that, but that is just hilarious.
And he shows them that there's the paint that was used also on the walls of that skate park. And
Yes.
so they wander around the skate park's near the train tracks, so they're just kind of wandering around and seeing if they can find any more evidence of the paint being used. And John finds a lot of symbols on a brick wall,
On a wall, yeah. And they're
and
all in the same paint, and so he runs to find Sherlock. And when he tells him, look, I found all this stuff, and they run back and it's already been painted over. Like, clearly someone's following them, right? But fortunately for us, Watson took a picture. And
Smart.
right, exactly. And Sherlock's like, try to remember, whatever. But then they realize we have got to get someone who's going to decipher this for us. And he wants to find Su Lin. As it turns out, she is breaking into the museum to care for the teapots, which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, that's so funny. Like, that's probably the most innocent thing she could possibly be doing. And as we later learn, she has done some crazy shit in her life. And now the fact that she has completely turned over a new leaf is so funny to me. It's
Right.
so good to see, but at the same time, it's like so interesting.
Right, so she admits to them that she has this lengthy backstory that involves a person called the Spider. She had been an orphan, and she had gotten involved in a theft-related gang in China. She broke free of it, came to London, and she's kind of made good, working at the museum. But she saw the symbol, and she's like, they're trying to pull me
Well,
down.
even before she saw the symbol, the spider came to talk to her and tried to find out some about something that was stolen from them. And so she refused to help. And she and then she, literally that late like the night after she found the symbol, and so she knows that she's a dead woman walking, and she reveals that. And I kind of love that this all this reveal kind of happens at once, because like imagine if we like had this moment and then like at the end of the episode we found out this other tidbit. But the spider, who is basically like their monkey,
I don't
their
know. That's
soldier, the person, their super soldier in a sense, like
yeah.
who's like really good at acrobatics and can kill you.
They're
He is
ninja. Ninja. That's the
yes.
ninja. Ninja, not monkey, ninja. I'm
Anyway.
not even gonna get into
Anyway,
no.
so she reveals that the ninja guy is her brother. And they were both orphans. They worked for the smugglers, and working for the bosses called the White, not the White Lotus.
Black
That's a
Lotus.
TV show on HBO.
No,
Black Lotus.
definitely not. Black.
And so she also shows them the a tattoo on the bottom of her foot of the Black Lotus, or sorry, the mark of the Tong, which is a something that all the foot soldiers have. And so she, the boss, Sean, had her brother looking for her to help track down something that was stolen. And she starts to decipher the code that they have, the picture that they have. But before they get to it, it because she basically is like, oh, it's based upon a book, but she doesn't get to tell them the rest because the lights go out and they realize that the spider has found them, and they're coming after her. And so John and Sherlock try to keep Sulin safe, but her brother, in a very depressing scene, comes up, and she's trying to like reason with, not even reason with him. She just says his name and puts her hand on his puts her hand on his cheek, and is just trying to have a good moment with her brother, just to try to snap him out of it. And then we don't even pan away. We just go over
Out
to a shot of like, sure, I think it's John, and then we hear the
hearing it.
gunshot. It's so sad. And
Yeah.
then John runs back and finds her hand, her body with a Black Lotus in her hand.
Yep.
Wow, dude,
Yeah,
cold-blooded.
that is cold-blooded for sure, but he apparently understands the mission, or I guess that's the way they're gonna talk about it. But
They confront the detective inspector Dimmick about how he's sweeping things under the rug, and they show the tattoos on the feet of Lucas and Van Koon to prove that this is a full-on conspiracy. Like,
well,
this
part of what's
is
funny, so part of what's funny about this is Sherlock goes and flirts with Rob in order to get access to the bodies, and they see the tattoos on the heels of all of the deceased. Then Sherlock's like, all right, let's get, it's got to be, this code has got to be in a book that everyone has. And so they have a whole bunch of books delivered to the apartment, and they are seeking the cipher. Watson's like, he's been up all night. He goes to work and he's like passed out at work because he's exhausted. But he asks the girl who hired him, woman who hired him, out. And Sherlock has gotten him tickets, gets him tickets to go to this Chinese circus because, of course, it's work related. He's like, oh, yeah, in order to get a visa from China, it's very difficult. And so these have got to be people. It's like a one night only circus. These got to be people related to the Black Lotus. It's the connection that Sherlock's just convinced of it. And so Watson decides to take her to the circus, and it turns out that there are three tickets rather than two. And
All under Sherlock's name.
right under the will call. Watson, Sarah goes to the restroom, and Watson's talking to Sherlock. This is really very funny. About why would I want to be doing like this kind of stupid work with you right now when I'm trying to get off with Sarah? And Sarah walks up and is like,
my God, you know.
It's so funny.
It is really, really very funny. John's failed dating is always a subplot that I absolutely love.
And he's just so like every man about it. It's very funny. The first act or the first event in the circus involves a crossbow being aimed at a chained warrior. It's basically a timed escape thing, and of course he escapes just in time, the warrior does. While they're watching this, while John and Sarah, I guess the girl, is are watching this, Sherlock is just looking around and backstage. There's a guy on silks is the next act, and he's still looking around backstage.
Called the spider.
And the MC, who is this woman who is in full Chinese opera
Garb.
of garb, comes backstage. Sherlock has to hide, and he sees behind some of the costumes a bag full of the spray paint that had been used for these symbols. And he's like, aha, I know stuff. And he's going to leave when one of the costumes essentially comes to life. It's like a suit of armor or whatever, comes to life and attacks him. It's a person, obviously.
Obviously, it's a person. It's not,
Like
this
a person.
has no magic to
This
it.
is not full Scooby-Doo here, guys.
No, not yet.
Not yet. It attacks him. And I can't remember exactly how these things are coordinated because there's a lot of intercut. But the acrobat, because things are going wrong, the acrobat then starts attacking people in the audience, like attacks John.
Well, John comes up and like I think the guy was going
Help
to
him.
intervene, and John like came up to help Sherlock by like engaging the guy in a fight, and then Sarah had to step in and hit him over the
With the
head.
stick. Good for her. Well
Good for
done.
her.
Yeah, most of the women don't do anything in these things, so
And this
that's
is a first date, bitch. Like, I mean, you didn't have to do that. Like, good
no,
for
that's
you
really
for
pretty
showing initiative. She's a keeper.
good. They're able to escape. They go back to the apartment. Mrs. Hudson is there, and he the, and they're trying to like so John's trying to salvage this date, basically. He wants to have a meal of some kind. They have nothing in the refrigerator. Mrs. Hudson comes up to like give him a meal, whatever. Sherlock runs out because he's got this idea that he's gonna go and get the book from where Sulin had been starting to actually translate the symbols. Because it's actually the girl Sarah who notices, like, well, you've got a couple words on there already. And he's like, oh, she had the book. So he rushes out to do that. He's unable to get a cab, but he sees some foreign visitors who are reading the A to Z, which, if you don't know what the A to Z is, it's basically like
A travel guide.
it's kind of like a, it's not really a travel guide. So what it is like a street.
London A to Z.
Right, so it's a street guide. So if you want to know where anything is in London, like a restaurant or whatever, it's not fully a map. It's more like a directory, maybe, or it's not even Yellow Pages. It's closer to Yellow Pages though.
Why it's called London A to Z, we don't know what to call it.
A to Z, it's the thing. And he realizes he's like sitting on the street, starting to translate all of this stuff rather than going inside. And so what happens is that John and the woman decide to order out, and they get a ring at the door, and they're like, oh, that was really quick, but no, they're getting kidnapped. And so
Takeout's never that quick.
it's never that quick. You should have known. And sure, like this is the whole freaking thing. So they get kidnapped. They are taken.
Well, Sherlock runs in and he finds the symbols on the windows of Baker Street. And so he knows they're gonna die. And so,
Bad shit going down.
but he has translated it so that he knows that they're looking for a jade pin that's worth 9 million pounds, and to meet them at the Black Tramway.
Yeah, it's a jade like hairpin or hair stick.
Yes.
Which she had some hair sticks at one point in time.
Yeah, at one point, yeah.
They were Japanese, but not Chinese, and not Chinese, but still.
Yeah.
And they weren't completely jade. I don't think they were jade at
They
all.
weren't jaded at all.
Yeah, they were enamel. But that's okay. But hey, you have ties to this.
Sure.
So they go to this, they're tied up in what looks like an alleyway or like an underground area.
Yeah,
But
it feels like a train tunnel, but it's not.
yeah, it's like maybe an abandoned, it's hard to tell. But the woman who had been the MC for the Chinese circus, and we'd seen her off and on throughout this,
She's
thinks
been
that,
taking their pictures quite a bit.
yeah, she thinks that John is Sherlock Holmes. She points her gun at him. She's like, hey, if we wanted to kill you, we would have. She dry fires at him, and he's terrified. They then have this fight. I mean,
Well, okay, you're skipping.
I am.
Okay,
Go ahead.
so she thinks that he's Sherlock Holmes because he has Sherlock's credit card or whatever, because Sherlock let him take it or whatever. He had the name, the tickets in the name of Holmes. He sarcastically said that he's Sherlock Holmes in Chinatown. It's a whole thing. And why they didn't do more research, they easily could have found the Sherlock Holmes blog, but they didn't. Like the science of deduction, they could have found it, but they didn't do a lot of research. I don't know. Either way, so and she's not listening to a word John says, essentially, and she's just wondering where the treasure is. Like, I mean, she even says, "Okay, we know you've been searching," and it's like, "Okay, but that doesn't mean I found it yet." Like, what do you mean? And she forces Sarah, the girl, to participate in the escape act with no escape, and that we saw earlier. And Sherlock runs in and distracts the gang, and he's like doing this whole speech. He's like, "How would you?" Of course, he's not Sherlock Holmes. "How would you describe me, John? Resourceful, dynamic, enigmatic." And then John just goes, "Late."
Yeah.
And then John saves Sarah, and only Sean gets away. Sean was the lady, the MC. And again, not a vi like she keeps having these like badass lines of like, "How do you know that? What does it mean when an assassin doesn't shoot straight? It means they're not really trying." It's like, okay, that's a cool line, but you also were being very obvious, like taking pictures of them in broad daylight, not from far, not from like too far away. Like I don't know. She's kind of an enigma for me. I'm just like, I don't know if I could say that you're a good villain. You're just kind of there. Anyway, so the detective inspector now gets the hype around Sherlock, and he's like, "We'll do whatever you want. I understand." John gets the other part of the other half of what Sebastian owes them for the finding out the hole in security, which is essentially just like lock a window or something. And Sherlock reveals that Van Koon's PA, the lover, has the hairpin and got it as a gift from him. But she found out because the lotion she had on her desk matches the same, it's the same as the like soap that Van Koon had in his apartment, which he would probably wouldn't have gotten if he didn't have a girl coming over. Anyway, Sherlock and John are talking about how Sherlock is annoyed that Sean got away, but he also thinks that's a vast network and we only like hit the tip of the iceberg. Sean is talking on a call, but we don't see or hear the other person. It just has like an ongoing text of M. The other person is their leader who paid their way into London, and the person's safety is compromised, and they will ensure it can't be traced back to them by killing Sean. And so Sean's dead. So, yep.
That's it. And so, what were your best parts?
Gemma Chan, I think she's really cool in this. I like what I really like about this story is the element of like Su Lin Yao's like journey. I find her part of the story very interesting. There are other parts of the story that are focused on, but I don't really care about all that much. But I really care about like the backstory of Su Lin Yao and her brother and all that stuff and the sad, tragic ending to that. And I find it very interesting. The mystery, I think it's cool figuring out the whole conspiracy and the smugglers and all that stuff. I think that they unravel the mystery rather well. And yeah, I like the cipher element of it. It's a cool way of unraveling a mystery. And the funny misunderstanding with John, like John just literally like having all of these things that belong to Sherlock. And someone just being like, "You're Sherlock Holmes." I'm like, "I swear I'm not. Like, I'm actually not. Can you please not think I am? Because this is putting me and this girl who I like in danger. Can we not do this?"
Yeah.
But yeah, and also the fighting. There's a lot of fighting in this episode, and I think it's well choreographed.
Yeah. I think there's some things I really like about this. Obviously, I like John Watson in this. I think that he's just got a really, it develops him as a character a bit more. I like Sherlock taking him for granted,
Yeah,
particularly.
in a way.
He just that he starts, kind of diminishing him, and yet without him, they wouldn't get out of this. So it's like it's a really very interesting dynamic between them. I like the intersection of like the words and the symbols and the different. I really mean the worlds. Like you've got just the different. The Chinese culture, you've got the homeless, well, not homeless, but just kind of the graffiti tagging street people kind of thing. And you've got just the high-end museum stuff. I think there's just a breadth that kind of encompasses all of what you see in London or what's available to you in London. It's kind of cool. And I felt like I did feel like the type of story this was telling was a little familiar though, and I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
What were your worst?
Graffiti guy.
Yeah.
I think the graffiti aspect of it is interesting. I don't hate that they included the whole graffiti culture thing in there. But at the same time, I don't feel like it added too much to the story. I think
Yeah.
that them finding out what paint was used is not very helpful. I think that anyone could buy the paint anywhere. And so I don't think you were going to track that exact can if unless you had the can on you, and you don't. So I think that them like find I'm glad they don't spend too much time on like trying to find the paint or whatever. They're more just like in the general area, like where they do eventually find some more like symbols and such, which are very helpful, but I think they could have done that anywhere because they were following them anyway. So I don't know. I don't really like graffiti guy. And hey, that was rad. Like that's I don't like that. That's it's just so stereotypical of that culture and all that stuff, the skater kid culture. I'm just like, okay, you can calm down a little bit. That felt a little out of touch to me.
Well, right, and it feels very dated.
A bit. I mean, this was made in 2012, but I mean, at the same time, it's just like,
Yeah,
why that?
it feels dated. I felt like this episode was slow at times,
It was a bit.
and I didn't find the general herself super threatening.
That's that. Sorry, I talked
Sorry.
about that a little bit, but I didn't add it to my worst parts because I forgot. But yeah, I think General Sean in general, she just to really quickly close out my thoughts on it is that she was an interesting idea of like, okay, so she's the head of the smugglers, like she must be very powerful, very not necessarily even charismatic, but very like authoritative. And she's very menacing of, and just the idea of her just hearing whispers and all that stuff. And But then when you actually see her in action and find out that was her in action and not one of her foot soldiers, that's really stupid, man. Like, you were taking pictures in broad daylight from 20 feet away. Like, that's not really covert. That's not doing anything interesting. And you weren't doing a great job, man. Like, it would be one thing. I kind of wish they didn't show them taking her taking pictures of them. I think that would have helped. And
Yeah, like people reporting to her might have been
sure, that would have been more
more
interesting.
compelling, maybe.
Yeah, but then at the end, when she dies, it's kind of like, okay, well, obviously, but it's a good thing. But I like the idea of like, oh, you thought this boss was bad? Oh, they work for another boss who's even worse. Like, I like that idea, but you didn't make her menacing enough for me to be like, oh, this one must be even worse. It's like, obviously, the bar's really low. So, I mean, it's not like.
Yeah, the other person's gotta be worse because she's
Yeah,
not.
I mean, it's not hard. I don't know. I
I
just.
just didn't find her super menacing. And one of the other things about this is like the cipher and stuff. I felt like, especially in this time period, a lot of these kinds of stories were being made, like National Treasure, and like the Da Vinci Code. You know, a lot
Oh,
of these
sure.
types of things were out there during this period of time. Did this do this well? Yeah. Was it amazing and groundbreaking? Not really. And so I think for me, this was not as good as the first episode.
No, it wasn't.
What grade did you give this?
I B plus.
I gave it a B. I didn't give it a plus just because I felt like it's a bit done. I felt I do obviously love Sherlock and Watson together. I just think that they are terrific and they make this very compelling.
Yeah,
I,
I think
it's shot well too.
it is. Yeah, I think I'll keep it at a B plus, but I do see what you're saying. I think actually maybe it is a B. Well, no,
I'm not trying to convince you.
I'm keeping it at a B plus. I'm trying to figure it out myself. It's just I think that the element that's keeping it a B plus for me is the Su Lin Yao arc.
Yeah,
And to see
that is
just how
cool.
much she has changed as a person and how people are capable of change.
Yeah.
And even those, and how innocence can be corrupted but then regained in a way. I liked that idea of like her being an orphan on the streets, working for smugglers with her younger brother, trying to keep him safe, but then he gets corrupted. And then she tried to stay as pure as possible and got herself out of there as quickly as she could and probably wanted him to go with her but couldn't. And then she was able to make her, and now the more she's doing is sneaking into a museum at night and making sure the antiques are in good condition. Like, that's the worst she can do now at this point. Like, it's
Well,
I
she's
find
still
that
capable
endearing.
of doing something else. Well, she's obviously capable of doing something else because
But
it's
she
not easy.
chooses not to.
Right. But she has the capability to get into this museum in a covert way. And, they've got all these antiquities and stuff. She, much like her brother, has, these skills to go undetected. And I think, and that have gone undetected. And I think that that's really very cool as well.
That
And
is
it's
cool too.
cool that Sherlock is the one who detects them. So
Well, Sherlock looks at the teapots and is like, one only one of those was shining yesterday.
yeah,
And I
no.
don't think any of you fools know how to do a tea ceremony, even though it seems pretty easy. Anyway.
It does.
I mean, am I wrong? Like, it
You're
doesn't
not
seem like
wrong.
hard to do. And also, she only does them one at a time. Like,
Yeah.
why don't you do multiple tea ceremonies in a night? Like, no one's gonna be there.
I can't tell you. I'm sure there's
Whatever.
some like symbolic reason, but I have no idea what it
I understand her going back frequently enough so that it doesn't, so that the effect is continuous.
is.
But if the fact that she just doesn't do all of them at once is so stupid to me. Some of the decisions in here are a little stupid. There are worse episodes of Sherlock, in my opinion.
There are. I agree.
I
I
but
agree, but
I
that's
think,
why it's a B and not something else. So.
yeah, I think it's a B plus for me.
All right. We do have many more episodes of Sherlock to cover. We are looking forward to sharing them with you. We hope that you join us and
Cheers.